powers, but with a greater intelligence, greater powers, and a greater capacity for good.
Even though you've been raised as a human being, you are not one of them.
Well, good evening, folks. Welcome to the Light of Day radio show with your host, Sheldon Day, coming to you live on the Orion Talk Radio Network. We're live Saturday night, July 10th, 2010. We're broadcasting live from the Sonora Desert in Tucson, Arizona. Our dew points have been going up here in the Sonora Desert. Our monsoon has officially started here already. We're hitting dew points hovering right around 54, 55 degrees. What they used to do is they always had to declare a monsoon season here in Tucson. We'd have to have three consecutive days of a dew point of so many degrees. I can't remember what the figure is. But now what they've done is they've just officially declared a monsoon starting July 1st of every year. So this is something we go through here in the desert for about 2 to 3 months, and it's pretty muggy here. I'm going to pretty much read some articles, some news stories here in the first hour. I'm going to play a few sound bites, and if we're lucky, we'll have our special guest tonight, David Sarita, joining us. Hopefully I'll be able to bring him on before the second hour starts, but as fast as the first hour usually goes, I don't know if that's going to be possible or not. Anyway, first of all, I want to report on some earthquakes, some earth-shaking activity that's been going on. We actually had a 5.4 in California here a few days ago. In actuality, that would have been a 6.4 because the as far as us Planet X researchers go, we know what they did back in the mid-80s when Charles Richter died. They had to downgrade the Richter scale because the powers to be knew the earthquakes would be getting very severe 25 years into the future, and they didn't want to alert the public to this. So we had a 5.4 in California, which actually would have been a 6.4. And I got an email from Gilbert Erickson on Thursday, July 8th. This would have been July 8th. Just to let you guys know what he felt. He says, "Sheldon, I felt this one today. I was in Orange County, East Anaheim to be exact, and leaning up against the car with the car door open. Next thing I know, the car starts to wobble back and forth, and I could feel the ground shifting underneath me. I looked up at the building I was standing next to, and I could see the distortion ripples in the plate glass windows. But in Anaheim, it felt like a 3 or something, something you can feel, but that has a gentle rolling motion. It went 15 or 20 seconds and then stopped. And that was it. So I kept reading because that's what I was doing when it started. Then the reports came in that it was near Warner Springs, not too far from Borrego Springs, west of the Salton Sea, folks. Their ride was more impressive than the one we got in Anaheim. That was from Gilbert Erickson. We've had some shaking going on in Missouri and Arkansas. So far in Missouri this month, we've already had 4 quakes, and those have been going on in the city of New Madrid, Missouri. Those are registering anywhere from a 1.3 to a 1.5. We've had 7 earthquakes so far this month in Arkansas. Those are registering anywhere from a 1.8 to a 2.3. And we've had 3 in Tennessee this month, July 2nd, July 5th, and July 7th. And those have been anywhere from a 1.4 to a 1.7. And there's been 2 in Oklahoma this month, and those have been 2.6s. Now keep in mind these Richter scale numbers I'm reading would actually be one full number point higher as far as us Planet X researchers go. Now, we also have some solar activity going on that I'd like to report on here. This comes from Dr. Judy Nips up in Pennsylvania. She runs a health food store up there. I get some very informative information from her. Tomorrow there's going to be a full solar eclipse, folks. And the solar activity coincidentally has been ramping up a notch. Not that I totally trust this guy, Mitch Batros, with Earth Changes Media, but then again, these people are going to put out some information for the public, and he's got a newsletter here dated today. It states, the NOAA Space Weather Center is predicting slightly higher solar activity from sunspot region 1087. Over the next few days, it will be just in time for the July 11th full solar eclipse. At this time, I'll be making one of my rare predictions. I predict increased earthquake and volcanic activity to occur over the next 2 weeks. The events I'm speaking of will be large to mega events causing high fatalities and significant damage. I would suggest the areas of most interest would be Bay of Bengal, Baja California, Mexico, Puerto Rico region, Japan region, and the Mediterranean region. Now, history, folks, shows that almost all full solar eclipse events, which are large earth-changing events, occur within 2 weeks prior to and 2 weeks after the full solar eclipse. And we also have he has something here about the Rosetta asteroid live flyby with live streaming video. On today, the European Space Agency's Rosetta asteroid will fly past 21 Lutetia, the largest asteroid ever visited by a satellite. After weeks of maneuvers and a challenging optical navigation campaign, Rosetta is perfectly lined up to skim by at 3,162 kilometers at 6:10 p.m. CEST. I'm not sure what that is, but anyway, Rosetta is expected to pass Lutetia at a relative speed of 54,000 kilometers an hour. I'm not sure how fast it would be in miles per hour. When both are located some 454 million kilometers from Earth. As Lutetia is a major scientific target of the Rosetta spacecraft's mission, most of the orbiter and lander instruments will be on for flyby, studying the asteroid's surface, dust environment, exosphere, magnetic field, mass, and density. So here we have an asteroid. I'm not sure how many millions of miles this is from Earth, but me and John DiNardo are trying to keep track of what's going on with asteroids because there has been some activity going on, like an asteroid that came down over the sky in Alabama. I believe that was May 13th or May 15th, and scientists were confirming that it came from the asteroid belt. Then we had this fireball slam into Jupiter here early part of last month. Now, this all may be connected to the inbound passage of Planet X because some of us Planet X researchers, including myself, John DiNardo, Gilbert Erickson, we believe that it's out between the main asteroid belt and Jupiter at this point of time. Specifically at the along right ascension 16 hours on the celestial sphere, if you folks want to check that out. It'll be in that part of the sky where Wormwood is at this time. Now, a group of astronomers are now on the mysterious Easter Island, one of the few solid places to stand on Earth where a total solar eclipse will be visible tomorrow. The majority of the eclipse path is over the ocean, so this will be one of the least observed eclipses ever. Jay Passashoff from Williams College, who is the chair of the International Astronomical Union's Working Group on Eclipses, is stated as saying, that, quote, this is one of the most interesting things that is possible for anyone on Earth to see in one of the most interesting places on the Earth that people can go. And again, this would be Easter Island. I see that Lucas, his website was hacked into, so we have a little update here on Lucas, and I'll read that to you. The Rabbit Hole Forum was hacked. New, more secure forum now for people. Lucas says, hi, friends. Some of you may be aware that our forum was down all day Friday. I have implemented a new, much more better forum system. Now, keep in mind, folks, this is the guy that has some extremely revealing information about what the elite are doing and their preparations as what he calls cosmic event approaches us. This would be the passage of Planet X. He goes on, there's no way with that old former forum that I can maintain a database and back everything up. The site was down for most of the day Friday. Now, the new forum is awesome. More categories, more features, and best off all, it is on a safer server, and I will be back up every night before I go to bed. That way, if it gets hacked again, we only stand to lose 24 hours of data. The new forum address is http://rabbithole2.com/forum/. I had no way of adding any modifications or safety features to this forum. I wish I could import all the settings, but I don't have access to the data files on the forum server. Oh, and please make your passwords as strong as you can. Thank you, Lucas. There's somebody out in my listening audience that said, oh, yeah, Planet X is coming, and there have to be some more hardcore type of evidence, like maybe the Earth's magnetic field being disturbed or something. Well, I found something for that person. This is off the NASA website, dated December 16th, 2008. It's entitled, Giant Breach in Earth's Magnetic Field is Discovered. So I'd like to read this article here. By the way, folks, this was mentioned on Jesse's Ventura True TV episode, Apocalypse 2012. It's just another dot connector that Planet X could indeed be inbound at this time. Article says NASA's five Themis spacecraft, that's THEMIS, have discovered a breach in the Earth's magnetic field 10 times larger than anything previously thought to exist. Solar wind can flow in through the opening to load up the magnetosphere for powerful geomagnetic storms. But the breach itself is not the biggest surprise. Researchers are even more amazed at the strange and unexpected way it forms, overturning long-held ideas of space physics. At first, I didn't believe it, says Themis project scientist David Sebeck of the Goddard Space Flight Center. Quote, this finding fundamentally alters our understanding of the solar wind magnetosphere interaction. Now, folks, the magnetosphere is a bubble of magnetism that surrounds Earth and protects us from the solar wind. Exploring the bubble is a key goal of the Themis mission launched in February of 2007. The big discovery came on June 3rd of 2007 when the five probes serendipitously flew through the breach just as it was opening. Onboard sensors recorded a torrent of solar wind particles streaming into the magnetosphere, signaling an event of unexpected size and importance. The opening was huge, four times wider than the Earth itself, says, I'm not even going to try to pronounce the name, but some space physicist at the University of New Hampshire who has been analyzing the data. This physicist colleague, Jimmy Rader, also of New Hampshire, says 10 to the 27th power particles per second were flowing into the magnetosphere. That's a one followed by 27 zeros. This kind of influx is an order of magnitude greater than what we thought was possible. The event began with little warning when a gentle gust of solar wind delivered a bundle of magnetic fields from the sun to the earth. Like an octopus wrapping its tentacles around a big clam, solar magnetic fields draped themselves around the magnetosphere and cracked it open. The cracking was accomplished by means of a process called magnetic reconnection. High above the Earth's pole, solar and terrestrial magnetic fields linked up to form conduits for solar wind. Conduits over the Arctic and Antarctic quickly expanded. Within minutes, they overlapped over the Earth's equator to create the biggest magnetic breach ever recorded by Earth-orbiting spacecraft. This article goes on and on, but if anybody wants it, just shoot me an email, gem3intucson@q.com. That's gem3intucson@q.com, and I'll forward that article over to you. There is no current cyclone activity going on looking at the Gulf and the Atlantic Ocean Basin, so, and they don't expect any cyclone development within the next 48 hours, so that's a good thing to know. Now, Professor Jim McCanney has predicted that the hurricane season is going to actually be very minimal this year, regardless of what NOAA has been feeding the masses out there. I do have a track here on my CD player that I'd like to play for my audience. This was Marshall Masters on the Kevin Smith Show, and I didn't get to play this last week because I actually had the wrong track on my that I burnt onto my CD because I was in too much of a hurry to, I didn't have enough time to prepare for my show. But I'm just checking here. Yeah, this would have aired on the Kevin Smith Show back on April 21st. And it's very interesting what he has to say about what the real purpose is behind the healthcare legislation. So I'm going to play that for you so you can hear it. So here it is. Just got to get it going here.
Then let's take a look at the healthcare initiative, this healthcare, the Obamacare. It's 2,700 pages because that's what $86 million worth of lobbying buys you. But the bottom line with it is that the service side of the bill is after 2012. The revenue side is on the front end of the bill. You look at the legislation that's supposed to be major legislation right now, and probably be the same thing if they pass cap and trade. It's going to be revenue between now and 2012, and the service side of it, the benefit side for Joe Q public, so to speak, comes long after 2012, 2014, you know, and so on. Well, the thing here is that all of this legislation really is doing right now is it throws a few benefits out there. I mean, it helps the healthcare reform, helps a few kids, but mostly just helps people already have something, doesn't help anyone that doesn't have something. They're going to be filing for bankruptcy as they always were, and about 2 million families will take bankruptcy and lose their homes, you know, because of medical crisis issues, even with Obamacare being passed between now and 2014. But that's all beside the point. You see, that's all the distraction. What really matters is that they've created a huge cash funnel. What the elites are doing right now in order to fund all of their projects is that they are sucking the blood out of the middle class like there is no tomorrow. Where are the mortgage paying jobs? You know, they're often, you know, going off into China. All of it right now is just pulling. Life is getting harder for the middle class than it ever has. The money doesn't go as far. It's just a huge wealth drain. And that's what I see going on. So,
right. So let me just make sure I understand what you're saying. What you're saying is that all this legislation is a smokescreen. It could have been health care. They could have picked some other issue. But the deal is it's a smokescreen to draw all the money in before 2012 and then no benefits till after 2012.
What does the legislation do? One, the nuts and bolts haven't changed. There's no reform of the insurance industry that's sensitive, not until 2014. And by the way, that gives the Supreme Court plenty of time between to come down with a ruling that blows it all out of the water anyway.
Keep in mind here, folks, we don't want to go by people putting out dates. That's not a good thing to do, but John Moore and Professor Jim McCanney are in agreement with each other that most of the Earth cataclysms will be so far underway or finished by the end of December 2012 that none of this stuff's going to really matter anymore. But so I just keep playing it here. We'll be coming to break in about 2 or 3 minutes, and we'll wrap this up after the bottom of the hour break. So here it is again.
But in the meantime, the insurance companies, pharma, all of these guys, they've got a green light to absolutely between now and 2012. And people can take that saying, well, ha, 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 after 2012, it's our turn. Come 2014, there's a new sheriff in town. But in the meantime, they've got all the political they cover that they want to go out and do horrendous things. On the eve of the bill passing, Anthem, in California, jacks up rates 37%. And other states, they do it. And none of this is kicked back down the ladder at all. They got to keep those gains.
All right, but so, you see a connection.
Just a setup to milk the public.
So you see a connection between the health care legislation, the way it was constructed, a connection between that and 2012.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. Now I understand that connection. Now here's the question:
financial siphon.
On the other side of 2012, there will be some survivors if all the cataclysms happen that you think are going to happen. Mm-hmm. You also say there are going to be survivors, and then what will they do? Just say, "Well, we intended to provide this, but we can't." Because of the cataclysms. Is that the plan?
They could say that, but on the other hand, it gives them a perfect situation. What they've done now is they've created an expectation that the government's going to have a hand in healthcare. All right. And now I'm not going to criticize that. It might chap a few of your listeners out there, but I'm a single payer guy myself. All right. Because I just don't think that you should profit from somebody being sick. I think it's sad that when some people have to die so that some executive can get multi-billion-dollar bonuses and fly in a Learjet.
Well, I do too, but let's stay focused on 2012.
So, but this is just, it was all, what it did was, this legislation just was a heck of a sweet opportunity for the elites to just come in and just snag a fortune. And
listening to Light of Day, live July 10th. We'll be back. Stay tuned, folks.
Speech guaranteed. You're listening to the Orion Talk Radio Network. The Orion Talk Radio Network is here. The First Amendment of the Constitution grants us freedom of speech. That's the freedom to express our views and opinions without censorship. If you listen to mainstream radio at all, you'll notice that free speech is pretty hard to find these days, with just a handful of networks offering programs that dare to discuss topics and issues that have a profound impact on our daily lives. The mainstream media simply lies by omission and distortion of the facts. The Orion Talk Radio Network is committed to bringing you entertaining and thought-provoking programming that dares to tell the truth. And you can help us as we grow our network. If you think you have what it takes to host a show, you know of someone interested in hosting a show, or any other suggestions, comments, or questions, please drop us an email at OrionTalkRadio@gmail.com. That's OrionTalkRadio@gmail.com. And thank you for listening to the Orion Talk Radio Network.
To our hearts, listen, sudden, something in the air. Feel like another crook that's been captured by your stare. Uh-oh,
falling in love again.
Hello, folks. Welcome back to The Light of Day with your host, Sheldon Day, coming to you live on the Orion Talk Radio Network. We're live Saturday night, July 10th, 2010, broadcasting live from the hot, muggy, monsoon-stricken Sonora Desert in Tucson, Arizona. Well, I'm going to get back for listening to the soundbite of Marshall Masters. He was a guest on the Kevin Smith Show back on April 21st, and it's really interesting what Marshall believes the healthcare legislation is what it's really all about. It's to suck the life energy right out of the middle class so they can get their last minute preparations finalized as the Earth cataclysms get closer. And I'll keep playing this.
A lot of folks, there's this perception that the elites have got this master strategy plan and everything's going click, clock, click, clock, click, clock, click. No, it doesn't work that way. It's always, you know, it's always hurting cats.
All right, we have to step away for a break. We'll be back right after this, so don't go away.
I forgot to edit out that commercial music off the Kevin Smith Show, but this really gets interesting because you're going to find out here after Kevin Smith comes out of this break what happens. Apparently, Marshall Masters must have really been onto something because you're going to hear it.
And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. It may be of some interest. We're still broadcasting on television, but it may be of some interest to you, Marshall, to know that our internet connection, main internet connection, has been disconnected. Well, of course, that means as well, and I didn't think about it, that means as well that we lost our connection to Marshall. So as we continue, we'll reestablish connection as soon as we can. But what this means, of course, is that we must have said some things that somebody didn't like. Somebody decided that the connection had to be cut. Somebody decided that Marshall, I guess, was getting way too close to something they didn't want said. And so they decided that they would close the connection.
Well, I guess I better be careful, or the powers to be might be closing my internet connection as well, but he goes on and on there for a few more minutes trying to reconnect with Marshall Masters. If you folks would like that soundbite, just send me an email. That's actually, you can find it on Marshall Masters' website, but you gotta know how to find it. I got something else I wanted to read here. This was sent to me by a person in Florida named Rhonda. I'm not sure if it's a man or a lady, but they're on my email list, and the article's entitled Doomsday, How the BP Gulf Disaster May Have Triggered a World-Killing Event. States ominous reports are leaking past the BP Gulf salvage operation news blackout that the disaster unfolding in the Gulf may be about to reach biblical proportions. 251 million years ago, a mammoth undersea methane bubble caused massive explosions that poisoned the atmosphere and destroyed more than 96% of all life on Earth. Experts agree that what is known as the Permian extinction event was the greatest mass extinction event in the history of the world.
55 million years later, another methane bubble ruptured, causing more mass extinctions during the late Paleocene thermal maximum. The late Paleocene thermal maximum lasted 100,000 years. Those subterranean seas of methane virtually reshaped the planet when they explosively blew from deep beneath the waters of what is today called the Gulf of Mexico. Now, worried scientists are increasingly concerned the same series of catastrophic events that led to worldwide death back then may be happening again, and no known technology can stop it. The bottom line, folks, BP's Deepwater Horizon drilling operation may have triggered an irreversible cascading geological apocalypse that will culminate with the first mass extinction of life on Earth in many millions of years. The oil giant drilled down miles into a geologically unstable region and may have set the stage for the eventual premature release of a methane mega bubble. It goes on to give somebody's methane extinction theory, a guy named Gregory Ryskin of Northwest University. He's a biochemical engineer. He has this theory: the oceans periodically produce massive eruptions of explosive methane gas. He has documented the scientific evidence that such an event was directly responsible for the mass extinctions that occurred 55 million years ago. Now, many geologists concur that the consequences of a methane-driven oceanic eruption for marine and terrestrial life are likely to be catastrophic. Figuratively speaking, the eruption region boils over, ejecting a large amount of methane and other gases into the atmosphere and flooding large areas of land. Now, this would probably be the tsunamis, folks, that are could be expected in that Gulf region, and those could be anywhere from 20 to 150 feet high tsunamis, based on everything I've been reading. Now, whereas pure methane is lighter than air, methane loaded with water droplets is much heavier and thus spreads over the land, mixing with air in the process. The air-methane mixture is explosive at methane concentrations between 5 and 15%. As such mixtures form in different locations near the ground and are ignited by lightning, explosions, and conflagrations destroy most of the terrestrial life and also produce great amounts of smoke and of carbon dioxide. Now, the warning signs of an impending planetary catastrophe of such great magnitude that the human mind has difficulty grasping it would be the appearance of large fissures or rifts splitting open the ocean floor, a rise in the elevation of the seabed, and the massive venting of methane and other gases into the surrounding water. Such occurrences can lead to the rupture of the methane bubble containment. It can then permit the methane to breach the subterranean depths and undergo an explosive decompression as it catapults into the Gulf waters. All three warning signs are documented to be occurring in the Gulf right now. You know, this, me and John DiNardo believe this is all tied in with the inbound passage of Planet X, because as it comes in, well, like Gilbert, he says here in an email he sent to me yesterday, Sheldon, do you see the part in this article about the rising seabed and the fissures/cracks that are opening up in the seabed? Do you see the wormwood fingerprints in that information, Gilbert Erickson? Yeah, I do. So what's happening in the Gulf? This could be indirectly tied in with Planet X, folks. It's something we can't rule out. I mean, who's to prove or not prove it either way? Anyway, this article goes on and on. Take too much airtime to read all that, but... You're listening to Light of Day. We're live Saturday night, July 10th, 2010. We're going to be joined at after the top of the hour break with our special guest, David Sarita. We're going to talk about Planet X, solar activity, and whatever else we can conjure up. I actually have another soundbite. Actually, I have a soundbite I'd like to play here. This was aired on the Power Hour radio show. Here this one is.
A lot of people are talking about Planet X. I'd like to maybe John DiNardo on to talk about that, because, you know, that's a big issue with a lot of people, saying that that's part of Revelation 8:5. I believe it's 8:5 or 8:8, 9 and 10. Not looking good. Let's go. Final caller, read it.
Well, that was aired by Joyce Riley on the Power Hour radio show, and I would, I'd like to encourage folks to flood her email inbox to try to get John DiNardo on her show. Now I'm going to play a soundbite here that this was presented by Mark Hazelwood back at a Clay Douglas seminar or whatever you call it, and it's pretty interesting. What he has to say, me and John DiNardo, you know, this guy doesn't give public presentations on Planet X anymore, possibly because his prediction of Planet X passing 7 years ago didn't come true, but Nancy Leader, as a, she stated, had a, has a reason why it didn't pass us. But anyway, that's a separate story in itself, but I want to play this Mark Hazelwood soundbite. It's pretty interesting to listen to, so we'll play this right now. I gotta make sure I got the right track here. Here we go. Enjoy it, folks.
X. This subject is almost difficult to, because what we're talking about here is a planet that when it passes, it creates calamities on Earth. Just by passing, the crust of the Earth goes through what you would say is tides, similar to the seas. Be like shaking out a blanket. I first did my research of Planet X through the eyes of intuitives or prophecy. I studied perhaps over the years 100 different prophets, probably more, or intuitives in regards to Earth changes. Now, I didn't even know when or why this would happen. I just had an interest in this type of Earth change prophecy is what you'd call it, really. Along the way, my son, I have a grown son who's made me a grandfather, he had a dream of tidal waves. We were living in Florida. In fact, I'm just getting out of there right now. And within 2 days, I had another dream. So I thought to myself, well, what have I missed? I really want to know why all these intuitives say around this time we're supposed to have Earth changes. In fact, I've since discovered there are actually thousands of Earth change prophecies all over the planet. They basically say the same thing. Now, not all of them certainly know the reason why they're giving these visions or anything, but I did find out. And it was, when I first found out, I'll tell you the truth, the cognitive dissonance that's created by finding this out is such that I rejected it. I mean, even though I'd read about Earth changes, I would not even pay attention to this. I thought it was laughable that a planet could come by, that we have another one in our solar system, and disrupt our surface, and basically cause all this to happen. The reason being, once you accept this as true, it changes your whole view of the world you live in. It changes all your relationships. It changes all of how you feel about your material goods once you understand this is absolutely coming. I went and I found a thread in my study of intuitives and prophecy about this rogue planets or passing comets or star, if you will, that I kind of overlooked the first time. So I took a hard right turn. I got out of the prophecy intuitive range and I started studying ancient history and found out, and I have 34 names for this planet in my book, and since discovered several more, that the ancient cultures around the world all knew about this planet and discussed it in the same terms. They gave it names that were almost akin to God because they had so much respect for what happens when it passes. It basically changes the Earth. It causes upheavals planet-wide.
Now, folks, Mark Hazelwood has at least one or two books, and I know that one of them is called Blindsided. So if you folks want to check that out.
So I thought, all right, there must be ecological evidence to support this, and sure enough, I've got 18 pages in my book, and I could have filled my whole book with that. Every 3,600 years when this planet passes, you can find the ecological evidence. Now, what is the most exacting, telling ecological evidence that we know of? Tree rings. Worldwide, about 3,650 years ago, tree rings were narrowed for several years. Why would they be? Well, when this thing passes, the majority of volcanoes go off. And you have kind of like a nuclear winter. And you don't see the sun for quite some time, and it rains. Right prior, during the passing, the tail of this
You can call it a comet. You can call it a brown dwarf. It's 4 to 5 times as large as Earth and 20 to 25 times its mass. It treats us like a piece of trash on the side of its road when it goes by. The tail of this sweeps the Earth. And there you can go back to your Bible, if you know anything about that, and understand why the waters turn red at the time. There's iron oxide dust that this planet attracts through deep space. It's got such a strong gravitational pull. It's even got the little moons that trail it in a row. So this red dust will sweep the Earth, and at a certain point when it gets real heavy, that'll be the time to hit your shelters, because the waters will turn red, the sky will turn red if you're on the side of the Earth. In the nighttime, the stars will turn red. In the daytime, the sun will turn red. It pauses the rotation of the Earth when it goes past. I'm sure you've heard mythology of the 3 days of darkness, depending on what side of the Earth you're on, 3 days of dawn or sunset or daytime. Well, actually, it's not 3 days. It's more like 5 days to a week is what they calculate. Since I've written this book, I've gotten whispers from all sorts of insiders from observatories and government that know this is true, thanking me for my effort, because they aren't allowed to say anything. In fact, just in this past week, I've been harassed. My family started getting harassed by a guy by the name of Tim Edwards. And him and his friend Jim that post on this large e-group, one of them, the first one, Jim, has been traced by an ex-DOD agent through 4 Washington servers down to Vienna, Virginia, military DOD, CIA. Okay, the next day, Tim was traced, him and his websites and where he is posting from. Same 4 Washington servers hit a hard block, so apparently they covered that up that hole. Well, now this guy, Tim, is writing my dad's girlfriend, I have to be nice here about this, and harassing her, trying to draw a rift between the two, because my dad is a famous musician, and he's posting my material on his website. And he wants to try to get him to take that down. Because the less you hear about this, the less likely the economy of the world will crash soon. It will crash before the event, but they want to hold it off as far as possible. These guys are engaged in disinformation. Their first level of disinformation is it does not exist at all. Don't worry about it. Their second level of disinformation is, well, if you've done your research like I have, you'll find out it absolutely does exist. But, and this is where Tim Edwards comes in, who he calls himself Tim Edwards. This is actually, as far as I'm concerned, a budget, a crew of people and equipment that are being used to put out disinformation to keep the public's eye away from this. He says, well, I put out information about structures on Mars and the moon and aliens, so I can't be a part of them. They don't care whether you know that anymore. They only want you to keep quiet or keep your mind blank like Planet X is coming. It is the worst case in all of history of genocide, them keeping back this information. This is from a NASA source that was contracting out a dome home, which is the strongest structure known to man, in the upper Midwest. He confided in his friend, the contractor, he was in the military first, went into NASA, that NASA knows two things absolutely. Planet X is real. Now, here's their speculation. I would pay close attention to NASA speculation. 2/3 of the population will perish during that time. They're not going to kill you, the New World Order. They're waiting for this event to, and they're keeping it out of your mind so that you will die anyway. That's how they're going about it. They're not going to create nuclear war. They've been getting ready, digging underground facilities for decades for this. They probably got facilities for a million people plus. Not you. More than likely, none of you are on that list. I wouldn't want to be on that list. Big money make big mistakes. I don't think when the crust of the Earth starts to move like it will, that these underground facilities are going to be safe. You're going to be a lot safer if you pay attention to 3 things. Number 1, well away from the shorelines. Number 2, well away from major population centers. And number 3, up in the rolling hills, and try to build a dome facility. You could build them for very cheap. I've got several different addresses on a website that I have of of domes that you can build for, let's say, just $1,000. You can buy sandbags and sand and barbed wire and make a little dome. They'll be just as strong as any dome that you pay $10,000 for. Which just last week I went to a workshop in Italy, Texas, and learned how to build dome homes with monolithic dome home. And you can buy, you can contract out one of these dome homes for, I mean, a small little shelter, let's say $20,000, I mean, 20 feet across, excuse me, for about $9,000 or $10,000. Now, you'll have to finish it off for that price.
Now, folks, if you go to my Archives Miscellaneous subpage on my website and go to the John Moore section there, I'm archiving a lot of his shows and interviews. He's actually had some guests on recently talking about these monolithic dome homes that people can get. It's not that most people can afford these, but you know, at least we are trying to impart some knowledge here that there is a preparation possible. So,
as far as the earth changes that are happening right now with the poles melting and so forth, could that be caused by this planet moving in right now?
The approach of Planet X portends many changes in our solar system. Planet Earth is not being singled out at all. Jupiter and Neptune have already gone through 40 to 50% magnetic pole reversals at this time. Saturn has lost one of its rings as of late and is on a tilt compared to what it was before. Venus and Saturn and the moon are all brighter than they ever have been. Mars is losing some of its water and its poles. Its poles are melting. There's an unprecedented dust storm going on there that they've never seen before. The atmospheres are thickening on Mars. In fact, the moon has suddenly grown an atmosphere about 6,000 feet that they're calling natrium. The sun is going through, I mean, it's like a popcorn popper. It's going through a cycle that they've never seen. It's supposed to end the normal 11-year cycle in the year 2000, and now it's just continuing on. The CMEs, the coronal mass ejections, are higher than ever. In fact, we're supposed to get hit within a few hours here with a full coronal mass ejection here that just happened within the last 24 hours because a small comet went by, and this triggered this ejection of material from the sun. In the last 20 years, Dr. Dmitriev has found out, this is a scientist working in Russia, they won't let this information out here, but it's leaking through, like I said, there's a civil leaks about this information. From the mid-70s to the mid-90s, the uptick in seismic and volcanic activity has increased 4 to 500%, and that's not counting the last 8 years, which is basically the greatest part of the uptick. The whole of the weather changes that have been blamed on global warming or El Nino or something all have to do with the approach of this planet. And in fact, there's ancient history foretelling the last 7 years prior to the passage where you'll get the major weather changes that we're experiencing now. The volcanoes going off in the Congo, the mega earthquake in India last year that killed 50 to 100,000 people, according to the defense minister in India, and by the time the powers that be got the information at the end of the year, they had pared that down to 12,000, which is just letting you know, I'm sure you guys know what's happening with the whitewash media. So, yes, there's a little bit going on as the approach of this planet, and by the way, physicist, master of science James McKinney explains in his book exactly how the plasmatic universe is interconnected. All the planets are interconnected with electricity. The solar winds are bringing the plasma in.
Okay, folks, that's the end of the first hour. We'll be back after the top of the hour news break here with our special guest, David Cerita. If you folks want to grab that soundbite I just played, it's on my Archives Miscellaneous subpage, CD number 3 under the John DiNardo section. We'll be back. Stay tuned.
Orion Talk Radio Network is here. The First Amendment of the Constitution grants us freedom of speech. That's the freedom to express our views and opinions without censorship. If you listen to mainstream radio at all, you'll notice that free speech is pretty hard to find these days, with just a handful of networks offering programs that dare to discuss topics and issues that have a profound impact on our daily lives. The mainstream media simply lies by omission and distortion of the facts. The Orion Talk Radio Network is committed to bringing you entertaining and thought-provoking programming that dares to tell the truth. And you can help us as we grow our network. If you think you have what it takes to host a show, you know of someone interested in hosting a show, or any other suggestions, comments, or questions, please drop us an email at OrionTalkRadio@gmail.com. That's OrionTalkRadio@gmail.com. And thank you for listening to the Orion Talk Radio Network. We have more listeners than the big boys' HD2 channels. This is Micro 1650 AM, Tonawanda, New York.